Hey, turn with me to Luke 15 this morning for a few minutes. And my heart's been stirred this week to speak from this parable in Luke 15. We sometimes call it, three parables, but actually it's just one. There's so many lessons to learn in it. I know we'll not finish today, even though I've got 2 hours now. Hallelujah. And many of you, Tim's shaking his head, I noticed there. When I tell him it's 2 hours. See, you're in California time still. Now, so, wait a minute, that's 3 hours, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you, Tim. Tim just gave me permission for 3 hours. Hallelujah. You know, I appreciate that. But Luke 15, there's so many parallels, and the Lord began speaking to my heart about this as to what's happening today and what took place right here in this. I call this, perhaps there's three stages of a wayward heart here. There's three stages of Satan's attacks, what I want to look at today. It's three stages of Satan's attack against us, against all of us. We see it so evident, I think more evident today in America than ever before, when we read this parable in Luke 15. And keep in mind, it's one parable, it's not three. The most famous one we know is the prodigal son, and all of our hearts are touched when we read this story. But keeping in mind that it's one parable, our Lord is pressing a point. And perhaps the very last part of the scripture that we'll read is the major point he's pressing. We'll get into that in a moment. But let's just read together. Read along with me. Luke chapter 15. I think we'll read the whole thing. Then drew near unto him, drew near to Jesus, all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Can I stop right here and say, thank God he does receive sinners and eats with us. And he spake this parable, notice singular, he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now, in this portion of the parable, you see a lost sheep. We see the shepherd. Don't we see Jesus as the shepherd out there looking for the sheep? How comforting it must have been to the 99 who stayed safe in the fold to say, "Hey, there goes our shepherd. He's going out there to find Bill or Brenda or Susie or Sam," or whatever the name of that lost sheep was. How comforting it was to the rest of them safe in the fold to know that their shepherd would not allow just one to be missing. How comforting to know that. And here's this sheep. What's the major problem the sheep has had? Well, it's pretty much this: distraction. Distracted. Things around them allured the sheep away. And sheep are easily distracted. Ask Brother John Rosenbaum and John and June. They raise sheep. Sheep are easily distracted. Man, you can get their attention away with anything. And what's happening today, church, is many in the church, well, actually many people all over the world, but particularly here in America, we're so easily distracted. We're pulled away from truth, aren't we? We're pulled away from our focus of where it should be. We're distracted from the government all the way down. Who on earth would ever dream that the First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, she and someone else, I don't remember who it was, but anyway, they gave the Woman of the Year to a man down in Australia who's dressed like a woman. They gave him the Woman of the Year award. And I'm thinking, my Lord, when did it come about that we had to focus on those things which are untrue and be distracted to that point. When did it come about that our, can we say that truth, became, instead of being objective or being actual and factual, that truth just became whatever someone who's in power decides it is for you and decides it is for me? When did that happen? And we're so easily distracted, and this sheep went astray. The rest were safe in the fold. 99 were there, but one was missing. And the shepherd, here we see our lovely Lord, the shepherd is going out after the 99. You remember the song, I wrote a portion of it down here. I think it's in our hymn book of the Lord's search for the 99. You remember that? It says, but none of the ransomed ever knew. That's the way the song goes. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain track? He said they were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. That's what our shepherd went through to come and get us. And I'm happy. Here in the fold, I'm happy for him going out to seek others. I've been those that's out there, haven't you? I've been distracted before. And I can be easily distracted today. Please take that in. So can you. You can be easily distracted and our attention pulled away from that which is true. The truth of God's Word, the truth of what He says is true. As in Josh's book, Fake Jesus, there are so many imposters, there are so many misconceptions today of who Jesus is from the Scriptures. But here in His own parable, our Lord gives us, He says, the lost sheep pictures the shepherd going out there. The shepherd suffering Jesus going to find this sheep. How important that is. Let's move on now in verse number 8. Here the sheep are distracted, right? In verse 8, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Now she has 9 left, correct? She has 9 left. She's lost one. But these are very important pieces of silver to her. It's part of her, we will say her inheritance. It's something so dear to her. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This lost silver, now it's tough to lose a sheep, isn't it? As a shepherd, you'll go after the one. It's even worse to lose the silver. But notice in this silver, what's the problem here? Well, it's not with the other 9. It's missing. Now, it's not of its own will. It's just a piece of silver that it's missing. But it's distanced from the others. It's of no value as long as it's not in the hand of the one who owns it. And when if it's in the hand, it's of value. But you say it's laying over there, it's hid somewhere. It can do no one any good whatsoever. It's not with the 10 where it could be worth much more, but it is alone by itself, and she's sweeping the house for it. Oh, what a picture I believe this woman is of the sweet Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit today is searching. He's working and laboring and searching and has been here for 2,000 years and he hasn't gone back. He, like a missionary, is going to that foreign land and he's staying right here until the Lord Jesus returns, and then the missionary, the Holy Ghost, will present the bride to the Lord Jesus. He'll present the church. But the sweet Spirit of God is here and he is searching and he's looking for that lost one, that until it gets into the hand of the master, is it worth anything? even though it has the inscription on that silver, would be the inscription of the king. But with the inscription of the king, still, it's not usable until it's in the hand of the master. You see how important it is? Each one of these are so very important. We see Jesus as the shepherd. We see Him and the work of the Holy Spirit right now in this world looking for this silver that is distanced from the rest. Back during the pandemic, there was such a push to keep people out of church and keep people away from church, all in the mind of safety. And I understand that. But not to the point where the ABC, the liquor stores could stay open, other places could stay open, but the church is non-essential. No, the church is of most essential. The church is the most essential institution on planet Earth. It's the very body of Christ. It's the very person of God here. We are. We represent Jesus to this world. We're the most important organization, my friend, on planet Earth, is the Church of the Living God. We're keeping hell off the rest of our world. Yes, the church. If you don't believe that, just read your Bibles. You know that when the church is gone, the tribulation, the wrath of God comes upon this world as never seen before. So as long as the church here is here, we're keeping the judgment of God off. You see how important it is that the church is here. But yet, we're in essence told to distance ourselves. And no church that I've talked to has recovered completely from COVID. They're not back to their numbers they were. They're not filled again like they were before. And they're like this silver, their distance. Oh, but preacher, we can watch, and I'm glad we have this. I'm glad we have the ability for you to watch us on YouTube and Facebook or wherever else you can find us on our website. I'm thankful for that. But nothing takes the place of the warmth of being in the service like this. I'm telling you, you can watch a fireplace sitting in the comfort of your home and watch the fireplace burning on the television and see that picture of the fireplace, hear the wood crackling, but you can't feel the heat. You need the heat and the warmth that's here in the church. But what's the silver's problem? Distance. Let's just get them away for a while. Let's keep them away for a while. See Satan's tactic. You see his attack here. First, it was distraction. Distract the sheep. Get them moved away. Then it's distance the sheep. Tell them they don't need each other. We don't have no value. Tell them that they can be as warm alone as they are there. They can just, tune in every once in a while. And if you can only do that, by all means do it. I would. I have. When I've been convalescing at home with some sickness, I'd watch the program, but all the time I'm watching, I'm wishing I was there. I'd watch it and I'm thankful for it and those who are watching with us. But let me say to all of you and everyone, nothing is substitutionary for the gathering of the church together, coming together as a body. And here the silver. It's of no value without being in the hand of the one that can use it. Even though it has the inscription of the king, which reminds me that every one of us, are made in the image of God. All human beings are made in the image of God. And Satan, here's another one of his plans, is to make you think that you're worthless. His plan is distance you from the church because he says all that church is full of hypocrites, or that church is full of judgmental people. They won't think you're worth anything anyway. So you just stay away. He's a liar. You've got the very picture of the king in your life. You're made in the image of God. You're part of God's creation. He created you in His image. And Satan hates every human being because they're made in the image of God. Every time he sees a human being, he sees him as God. He sees him, it reminds him of God. That's exactly one of the great torments to the devil, is to look at a human being and say, "They remind me of God." And I hate them for that, because they're made in His image, created in His image. You know, we have tracts here that we give out that's now they're personalized. We've got thousands of them on the You Are Beautiful or Have a Beautiful Day. And on the back it says, Scan Here to Discover the Solution to an Ugly World. And oh, how important it is. On the back is that QR code they can scan, and it gives them the testimonies of folks that how their lives have been changed and how they've been renewed and restored and refreshed and brought to the Savior, and how they can have happiness in this ugly world, and the plan of salvation, the wonderful message of the gospel is in that as well. I've yet to have anybody turn that card down when I'd give it to them that says, Have a beautiful day. I gave it to one lady. Brother Josh helped create the information that's in this video. It's a video, three short videos, and he helped create the gospel message that's there, or put it out there for him. And I gave it to one lady, and I'll never forget, I came back by a few days later, and I said, by the way, did you look at that? You are beautiful, or have a beautiful day. It says it's the same information, but one says you are beautiful, the other one says have a beautiful day. I said, did you look at that? She said, I did. And here was her exact word. She said, that was the most encouraging thing I've seen in a long time. And I said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, Satan says, distance yourself. That silver is of no value until it's in the hand of the master, even with the king's imprint on it. How important to see that. So we see the sheep distracted. We see the silver distance. Now, let's look down at the rest of this. He said a certain man had two sons, verse 11. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divides unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There he wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, because slaves are only ones that went barefoot. Put shoes on his feet, a robe of restoration, a ring of covenant and love, and shoes of dignity. Put all this on him. Let him know he's a son. He's not a servant. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Well, the lost sheep was distracted. The lost silver was distanced from it, wasn't it? And now the lost son is deceived. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he had everything at home. He had everything he could ever wish for. He had a loving father and mother. He had a loving family and those that were around him. He had all that you could wish for there, everything. And then those thoughts came to him, those whispers that you don't need the Bible, you don't need that truth, you don't need that old-fashioned worship, you don't need the church, you don't need those truths you've been told all your life, you don't need that. There's many other things out here that are better, and there's things out here that are really more relevant to your lifestyle right now. That stuff is ancient. You know, that book that preacher preaches from, it's archaic. I mean, he talks about it. It's written over thousands of years. And I mean, it can't be relevant to you. I had some folks from a false religion, really, come by the house one time. It was right before Easter. They knocked on the door, and they said, "We'd like to give you our literature." And I said, "Well, I'll take it. Can I give you some of mine?" And they did not want mine. But anyway, we talked for a minute, and I said to them, they said, I noticed on the literature, it says, "How can a man who died 2,000 years ago do you any good?" And I said, "Hey, I see just by your literature here, can I tell you how he does you some good? He didn't stay dead. No, he's alive forever." And girls, there was three women. I said, "Girls, come up here and sit down on the porch. Let me tell you how I know he's alive forever." And they said, "Thank you for your hospitality. Good day." And they took off. They wouldn't wait for me to tell them how a man who died 2,000 years ago didn't stay dead. He arose from the grave alive forever on the third day. And now he would give them girls eternal life. He gives anybody eternal life. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this dear, poor, old prodigal, we call him wasteful, he had been lied to. He had been deceived. And ladies and gentlemen, the voices of demons and devils are out there today speaking every deceptive thing possible to turn people away from truth, to turn people away from what is actual, factual, evidential truth, objective truth. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. It's the lie of the devil that tells you that you're not made in the image of God. You're not beautiful anymore, so you should change your gender. It's the lie of the devil that's out there telling you, you don't need that Bible anymore. You don't need that church. You don't need that principle, those principles anymore. Just move them out of your mind. That's not necessary for today. And you folks that are out there who tells people, "Oh, this is wrong and that's wrong, you're homophobe, you're transphobe, you're all this stuff," that's a lie of the devil. The truth is the truth from generation to generation, and truth, 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 truth will be truth 10 million years from now on heaven's bright shore. It's truth. Truth is truth. And don't listen to the lies of Satan, the deception. What are some of the lies that this young man may have listened to? He listened. Perhaps he had some friends who kept whispering to him, "You know how your dad, you know how you guys, you have this manner of worship, and you don't need that anymore. You know, we got some things out here that I'm telling you, it's better than that. We can influence you. You ought to just taste the things we're tasting. You ought to, man, if you ever got high on some of the things we got high on, you won't even enjoy what you're into right now." Oh, and they allured, the allurement, can I say, the enticement. All of this began to grip the heart of this young man. And what happened to him is he didn't realize he had as much as he had. Satan is so good whispering in your ear that you don't have enough. You need more. You don't have all that there is. I had another two young men come in from a false religion one time, and they wanted me to, they came by the door, and I said, "I invited them in. I don't encourage you to." Mormons is who they were. And I said, "Fellas, sit down here." And we started talking, and of course they were telling me that I didn't have all the truth, but that they knew I had part of the truth. I had my Bible there. So I said, "I only have part of the truth." "Yeah, but we got the rest of the truth. Now, we believe Jesus, and we believe he's a good man, but we got the rest of the truth." And I said, "Well, how long ago has it been since Jesus was here?" "Oh, well, 2,000 years ago, like you believe." And I said, "Well, so you mean for 2,000 years, or at least 1,800 and whatever it is when their prophet appeared, that we've not had the truth for that long, and we just now got it? In 18, whenever that was, Brother Spears, I don't remember." But, and they said, they looked at me and said, "That's right." And I said these words, Holy Spirit, give me the wisdom. I said, well, man, that doesn't seem like Jesus was too good of a Savior if he left his church for 1830 some years without the truth. And one of them boys, to God be the glory, the light came on for him. He looked at me and said, oh, you're right. That wouldn't be right, would it? And I said, no, it wouldn't be right. So I got the truth. And I said, deceive, I got the truth. I got the whole thing. I've got everything right here in this book. I got the truth. And the one young man agreed with me. He said, yeah, you must have. And the other one said, it's time we left. It's time to go. And they got up and walked right out of my living room. And I was trying to talk to them on the journey as they were leaving out the door. And I said, fellas, I really do have the truth. I'd love for you fellas to have it, have part of it. You see how they were deceived? You see how people are deceived today? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I cannot stress to you enough the voices of Satan and the demons of hell that's out there speaking to the minds of individuals and the lies that it's being told to destroy themselves. Demons, demonic voices speaking to folks, destroy yourself, destroy yourself. This is not good. You don't need this. You can just end it all. Don't listen to that. Don't you know this young man came down to that place in the hog pen, lost everything, completely lost it all, nothing, and eating with the pigs. And then notice something. His mind goes to the Father, but particularly the Father's servant. Now in Isaiah 52 and 53, who's the servant of the Father? The Lord Jesus. So he goes to the Father, he thinks in his mind, my Father's got plenty. My Father's servants have enough. So his mind goes to the Father's servant, and the Father's servant as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see Jesus looking for the lost sheep as the shepherd. You see Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's going out to get those that are distanced. You see Jesus now that's going out to get this one that's deceived. And he's down in the hog pen with him and he's telling him, come back, son. Think of the servant. Think of how the servants, how much we have to eat. And you're down here starving. Thanks be unto God, verse 17, that he came to himself. He got out of this drunken stupor, this stupor of deception that Satan had put him in. He pulled him out of that deception and out of that stupor of sin and brought him to a reality of what truth is. Look where you are. Are things better? Are things better? And he says, no. No, they're worse. There's worse. And he rises and goes to the Father. But he came to himself. I'll never forget speaking with a young man that, he was about 10 years younger than me. And he was telling me of this situation. He explained this whole scripture that I'm explaining to you. He explained the whole thing to me that day in his own life. And he said, I'm the perfect example of the prodigal, the whole thing. He said, I got carried away in myself of who I am and who I was. I got carried away of my strength. I got into the martial arts and the bodybuilding. And he said, I had a wonderful wife and children. But that wasn't enough. I had other things I wanted to do, and they were holding me back and holding me down. And my wife was begging me, honey, he said, I'd go to church every once in a while just to satisfy her, but then I left the church. He said, I truly believe I'd been born again, but he said, I just left it. I just ignored her and I ignored the kids, and finally she'd had enough. But it didn't bother me, preacher. I'm telling you his story. He said, it didn't bother me that she'd had enough. I said, hey, I've had enough too. I got plenty of gals out there looking for me. And I forsook my boy, I forsook my daughter, I forsook my wife. He said, I took off out after that life. And he said, you know, for just a few years, it was groovy. Man, it was good. And I liked it. And all the time I'd get these calls from my wife or from my ex-wife and say, hey, you need to see, our boy is missing you. He is missing you. Our daughter's missing you, and they're growing up, and they're getting older, and they're getting older. They're missing you. They're missing you. And you know what? He said, I was still in this stupor like the prodigal. Till one morning at 3 a.m, my ex-wife calls, and she's screaming on the phone and says, I knew it would happen. I knew it would happen. I'm at the emergency room, and our son's just killed himself. And I knew it would happen. I'm telling you this guy's story. And he said, I came to myself, preacher. He said, that truth. He said, it was like somebody slapped me in the face and said, are you awake now? He said, I'm awake. I'm awake. God had been on my trail all that time. And I woke up. And he said, I came back. I'm with the Lord. I'm, thank God. He says, I come home. And he was waiting there for me. But he said, oh, what it took to get me out of the stupor. What it took to get me out of that deception. What it took to bring me to that place. And he rose. He went to the Father. Hallelujah. And he said, Father, I don't even want to be called your son again. Make me as one of your hired servants. Make I like that thought. Make me just like Jesus. Make me a hired servant, Lord. Just make me one of them servants. That's be fine with me. Father, I'm home. And the Father, you know the story. It's so wonderful. Man, how what a beautiful picture. Here's the Father. My thoughts are, is that Mama has told Daddy, go out and look for go out and look for a boy again. Go out there and look for the boy. Okay, Mama. I'm going. And they go out and he looks, and here enough, here comes a bear from down the road comes this familiar person. Doesn't definitely not the same that left, but it is the same. That's him. And he comes and the Father runs to kiss him. Now I didn't see this, Brother C.T., till just really I guess a couple of weeks ago. Just reading and listening to some things and one of the reasons he ran to meet him, that was the love. There's my boy, I'm coming, hallelujah. But another reason was to protect him. Because you see, what the prodigal had done was guilty of death. He could have been stoned. But with Daddy hanging all over him and kissing him, they wouldn't throw a rock at a boy whose daddy was there hugging him and kissing him and bringing him home and bringing him back. They wasn't going to throw a stone at that boy because Father was there all over him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And can I say to you and I, when you come to Christ, when you come to Jesus, you may be a prodigal. You may have been distracted like the sheep. You may have been distanced and said, I wouldn't even be here today, or I wouldn't even be listening to this message if it didn't happen. Or you could be deceived like this poor old man, poor young man, believed everything was brighter on the other side, and it wasn't. Over on the other shore, it's better. No, no. And he comes back to the Father. They kill the fatted calf. And by the way, the fatted calf in those days, the custom was to put that up. If a son left for any reason, if he left with the blessings of the Father, now this one didn't leave with the blessings of the Father, but if he did, if they left with the blessings or without the blessings, they'd put up the calf and fatten it because that when the son returned, they would kill the fatted calf, put a blood sacrifice on the threshold of the home, so that when the son crossed the threshold of the blood, the sins that he'd committed out there would be forgiven because there was a blood sacrifice on the threshold of the home. Don't you see Jesus in that? Here's Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from every sin. You'll never be too horrible a sinner that Jesus cannot save you. You'll never have gone too far that Jesus cannot reach you. His arm is not shortened. His hand's not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear for those who will come. No, 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 no. You see, don't be distracted by Satan's lies. Secondly, don't distance yourself from the very truth you need in the Word and the church and the people you need. Don't distance yourself. Thirdly, don't be deceived by all that you see or hear around you that is against the truth of this book and what you know is true. Do not be deceived in thinking that it's better without God, without the Scripture, without the church. It's better. You'll realize it's not. And you'll be thank God for those who come to Himself. May you come to yourself. The Lord willing. Tonight's service, I'm going to finish this other story out of this passage because there's a fellow here that's another prodigal. We don't see him, but he's there. There's two prodigals in this passage. We'll talk about him at 5 o'clock tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for being so attentive this morning. Let me ask you. The Holy Spirit just so touched my heart with this message. Where are you in your life right now? You know, it could be, and this is a wonderful thing, that this is the time you've come to yourself. You've come to yourself. And that is, you're finally awake out of this stupor. And you've come to yourself and you say, hey, wow, here I am. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm here. I understand. And right now's the time. And you come to the Father. And Lord, He'll take it from there. He'll take it from there. You give your life. Recommit yourself to Him. Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm yours. I belong to you. Maybe you've been distracted a while. Perhaps there's been distance. Perhaps just pure old deception. You've believed everything, but what you know is true. Here's the wonderful thing. The Father will receive you. Don't listen to that lie of the devil, which says, He won't have you. He won't have you back. Don't you listen to that lie, because Satan is a liar and the father of it. He will have you. He will take you. You're the reason he died. I'm the reason he died. He paid my sin debt. He paid yours. I've been this prodigal. I've been this last prodigal myself. I've been the ones that listen to Satan instead of listening to the Lord. But hallelujah, hallelujah. He brought me to myself. And if He's brought you to yourself, by all means, surrender. Throw yourself in His arms. He'll take you from there. He'll take it. He'll take you from there. It's not of, well, what must I do? What have I got to do? It's what He has done that makes the difference. So let's stand with our heads bowed, if you would, please, and while they sing for us. And we're going to have prayer. The altar's open. If you want to use that, you can use your pew as an altar by all means. But you know what He is saying in your heart. Let Him have you. Commit yourself to Him. And let God do what He intends to do in your life. Help us, my Father. You know what to do. You are working, and we praise your holy name. Thank you for your kindness, your mercy, your grace, your goodness. Thank you for bringing us home. Thank you for going out after the sheep. Thank you, Lord, for searching and seeking, even at home. The silver was lost. Thank you for seeking and searching. Thank you for loving us when we're away. And loving us back into the fold. Praise your holy name. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. You're worthy. Coming home. Yes, Jesus. Help us, my Lord. Help us. If you want to come this morning, by all means. But use this time for the sweet Holy Spirit. Just search us, try us, seek Him. To do what He wishes. Thank you, my Lord. How good you are. How kind you are to us. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's have a word of prayer here. I wonder how many would say, preacher, with all my heart, best I know right now, I want to just recommit everything in my life. Everything I am now, what I will be, it's all His. I want to just give Him everything. I want to swing open every door in my heart. Let Christ walk through. Take over completely. I want Him in every part of my life. Just uplifted hand. That's me. That's me. I got mine up too. Yes, yes. Do it, Lord Jesus. Anything, everything. Thank you for those hands. I want Him in all of it. Because He can sure handle my life better than I can handle it. He can yours as well. And no one can do what Jesus can do with you. So that's one of the encouragements to surrender. Maybe one of these days when we get to heaven, we might get the opportunity to ask Jesus, if this is brought to our memory, of what the end results of the boy was that came home. What did he do the rest of his life? We love to hear those stories of restoration. But just suffice it to say that when you're in the Father's arms, the rest is taken care of. We love you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the hands lifted, Father. We want you through every room in our heart, going through every part of us, sitting on the throne there. And we thank you, Father. Lord, keep your people. You sent this message to us as a church family, I'm sure. Keep your people from being distracted. Lord, keep us from being distant. Help us not to listen to the lies of the devil, to distance yourself from God's people and the church. We need that more than ever. The devil knows we need it more than ever. His reason, he's doing his best to distance people. Keep us from distraction. Keep us from distance. And oh God, one more thing, please, please, let us not be deceived, nor listen to the lies of the devil. Let us take truth. The truth will set us free. The lies of the devil enslaved this boy and finally put him in the hog pen. In a pen, in the hog slop, he was enslaved till he remembered the Father and the Father's servant. And oh Lord, keep us out of deception. Let us know truth. Thank you for your kindness and goodness. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I love you.